T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to the Lodge Kohler Kickoff Show.
Bring it in on 3. 1, 2, 3.
It's Friday night. Time for an in-depth and unique spotlight on a member of your green and gold.
Ready?
Now, live from the Leaps and Bounds Cafe at Lodge Kohler in Green Bay, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Good evening, and yes, we made it from Kenosha to Green Bay in almost record time, thanks to the state police for letting me go. We certainly appreciate all their help and consideration in getting us here. It's the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. It's brought to you by our friends at Lodge Kohler and Hupie and Abraham as well. And we're going to be joined tonight by Tim Boyle, backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Gianni is here as well, with the food and beverage director for Lodge Kohler. How you doing, my friend? It's been, well, happy holidays to you, first and foremost.
Thank you so much. We are doing great.
Yeah?
Busy, keeping the business busy.
There you go. Well, I'm sure everybody's up here in a festive spirit, and you bring festive spirits to us.
Yeah, I always bring wine, so it's always welcome.
It makes everybody a little more festive.
Yeah, today we have one of my favorite regions in the world, what is Chianti, part of the Tuscany wines in Italy. I love Italian wines. And this specific is Castello d'Albola. It's a 92 points by one spectator wine. You can buy it in Tower in the Sky, of course, or $58 a bottle. It's quite a good price. And it's a Chianti Classico. And I'm making this point because there is a difference between Chianti and Chianti Classico. In Chianti, you have to have Sangiovese grape, minimum is 70%. In Chianti Classico, is 80%, up to 100%. The rest of the blends in this wine, for example, is 95%. And it's blended with one grape called Canaiolo, what is an Italian grape. So, yeah, they also can mix it with Merlot, Shiraz. The only grape that they cannot mix in Chianti is Cabernet. Those wines with Sangiovese blended with Cabernet are called Super Tuscans, and are one of the best also Italian wines, because Cabernet is kind of the best grape for that. So, yeah, that's all about, and hope you enjoy it, and have a great time with the boy today.
You can get it upstairs as well, correct?
Yeah, we can get it at Tower in the Sky for $58 a bottle. You can get it actually by the glass too. By the way, you were having dinner with us last week.
I was. I had a great
time. How was your dinner?
The dinner upstairs was fantastic. We ended up doing the beef stroganoff, the swordfish, or the sturgeon. And I don't know what the seafood balls were, but they were fantastic. I didn't get one. I got a bite, but the kids ate the rest. So it was, and the fact that the kids are that fickle, you know, and ate it all up. It was absolutely fantastic. And it's my second or third time of dining, but that place is just awesome. Just awesome upstairs.
I'm glad to hear that. So thank you so much for your time being here, and enjoy it. Boil now.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to talk with Tim now. There you go. Gianni, the food and beverage director here at Lodge Kohler. And we're going to get a spa information, if you want to give away a spa certificate or something like that, coming up here in just a little bit. But Tim Boyle joining us here. Tim, how you doing, man?
Fantastic. How about yourself?
We're doing well. So you're telling me when you got here, you guys are practicing kind of indoors and outdoors right now. It's supposed to be about 19 degrees come Sunday up here against the rival Bears.
Yep.
Cold bother you at all?
No. I think that's a mindset that we have as a team. That, you know, when it's cold, that's kind of when we start heating up. And I think Aaron said it best. I think he says before every cold game to the team, he says, guys, especially in December, when it gets cold, that's when we heat up. That's when teams don't want to come into Lambeau and play us. So I think it's good that coach has us outside. It kind of gives us an edge going into the game. But there's nothing like, you know, a noon kickoff when it's, you know, below 20 on Sunday.
What does it mean to be the 200th game in this rivalry between the Packers and the Bears?
Yeah, that's pretty big, especially, you know, even the first game this year, you know, being the 100th season in the NFL and going down to Chicago and beating them in the first game of the 100th season in the NFL was huge. But to add on top of that, the 200th game ever between the rivalry is special to be a part of, and hopefully we come out on top.
Well, let me ask you about that first game, because you and I were sitting here talking before the show. I said, look, I thought with everything that went on, all the hype down there, I really do think that in the beginning of the season, you kind of derailed the Bears' season. It just, they were a Super Bowl contender in their mindset, in their fans' mindset, in everybody that was an analyst for the NFL's mindset. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, not only did they not score, but defensively, you guys unleashed something that the Packers hadn't seen in a while. You guys didn't exactly light it up on offensively, but that was kind of to be expected with a new offense. But you went in and beat them kind of at their own game. And to me, it took them like 5 or 6 games to recover.
Yeah, I think the first game, obviously, you have to start off, you know, hot, but especially against the Bears, Thursday night game, first game. And like you said, we didn't do very well on offense. Defensively, we were amazing. But whenever you can start 1-0, especially in the division and against a rival, is huge.
So this game coming up, they're coming in because this is do or die for them. You knock them off and it's over. Their season's pretty much done.
Yep.
Does this game carry any extra intensity? I know Matt LaFleur said during his press conference when he was asked about the whole 200th thing, and he said, look, I don't have time. I mean, it was almost like he said, it doesn't matter to me right now, you know, without being that brash. But it really does. And this is about getting a win because you get the 11th win, and that almost solidifies you in this NFC right now in the postseason.
Agreed. I think Coach said it, you know, when you take a step back and you understand the history, the tradition, it's cool. But we have a game to play, and we're not really focused on, hey, this is the 200th meeting. Our kind of mindset is this is the Bears. We don't like the Bears. This is to knock them out of the playoffs. And this is to increase our, standings one over the Vikings once more. So, big game for us. But I think it's even, more stress, more pressure on the Bears to come in here and try to knock us off. But, like you said, the 11th win is going to be huge for us.
What is it like inside the locker room right now, knowing that this is a game in which, one, if you win, you can lock up a postseason. Two, if you win, you knock the Bears out. But three, you really need one, I mean, you guys have gotten some wins here as of late, but you just haven't got it in a flowing fashion.
Yep.
What would it mean to get a team that's hot coming into Lambeau right now?
Yeah, I think that the number one thing, I think we're locked in to the fact that, we have to play well against a team whose record doesn't really reflect how good of a team they are. Mitch is playing good football right now. Early on in the year, people were, having doubts about him, but he's coming to his own this season. But truly, our mindset this year, and especially this week, is 1-0, and especially it carries a little bit more weight because it's the Bears. But I don't think we look at it necessarily as, hey, this is going to get us to 11 wins. This is going to get us to the playoffs. Matt does a good job of making sure that we're locked in. We're not looking too much ahead, and we're focused on just beating the Bears this 1 week.
What is it like being a quarterback in this new offense?
I love it. It's super quarterback friendly. I think the difference from last year to this year is last year there was a little bit more free reign at quarterback, where this year there's still free reign, but it's built into the play. So it's very quarterback friendly. It allows us to kind of play a little bit more fast. It's more of a reactionary quarterback instead of having to make everything right every moment. So I think that represents itself, with how well Aaron's playing this year. But, being from last year, this year, it's a completely different system. But, I really enjoy being in it.
With you, Manny, and Aaron, Coach, in the same room, do you feel like this offense is in a rhythm?
I do. I do. I think we can do a better job. And we've discussed this. I think that's the important thing. You have to have those open, honest conversations. I think we can be more consistent with what we put out on film and how we produce and how consistent we are. And we know that. That's not a secret. I think the fans know that. But for us to continue to play well late in December and January, hopefully February, is to put all three phases together. And we haven't done that yet. And Coach LaFleur is always, once we put all three phases together, we're going to be a very dangerous team.
You're kind of running out of time to put it all together. I mean, once you get to the postseason, you don't put it together, you're pretty much sitting at home with your feet up. So does it – everybody says, well, your record is what you are at this point in the season. Do you feel like it's something that it's right there? See, I've had conversations with Aaron before where he says, man, it's just there. It's just a little conversation here or there, a little communication, and then we're good. Where other times it's like, we just can't get over this hump. We've got this problem. We've got that problem. You can't get over that. Do you feel like it's just right there?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think we have any issues at all, especially in the locker room. We love this team. We genuinely like hanging out outside of football, and I think that's huge. But, yeah, I don't think it's too far away. I really don't. I think we've seen glimpses of it, but then you have the games like the 49ers where we really can't get going, and that's kind of the that's when you have to take a step back and assess what's going on and kind of clean that up as you go.
What was it like film study after the Chargers and after the 49ers?
Yeah, I think you're a little bit more critical, but it's pretty much the same every week. Whether it's a blowout win or a blowout loss, I think you have to approach it every week. I think when you lose like that, you're a little bit more critical of yourself. but we do a good job of making sure that we watch the film and kind of put it behind us and we can move forward.
What the 49ers specifically, because you're going to most likely, if you guys go deep into the postseason, most likely you're going to face them. Mm-hmm. So what was, how far away were you when it comes to the 49ers? Because it looked like a physically dominating performance. They won that game kind of in the trenches and in the fronts. But how far away was it? Was a matter of, because they ran a ton of stunts. Mm-hmm. And some of those stunts just didn't get picked up. So my question is it communication and sliding guys to the gaps? Because they did a lot of that up the gut, and then they put pressure with Bosa and company on the outside. Or was it they just got us? They were a fast team, and we just didn't expect that. And the next time we play them, we're going to be ready for what it is they bring to us.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. I think they came out, and they were a little bit more amped up, and we were kind of just – we didn't come out. We were flat. But we weren't that far off, I don't think, in my opinion. Yes, did they play well? Their front, built of, four or five first-round draft picks, understandable. But when it comes down to this is the NFL, we have to play well. But we had that conversation in the locker room after. I mean, we're going to see that team again in the playoffs, hopefully. And once it happens, we have to be ready and learn from what happened and make sure it doesn't happen again.
When you went to the West Coast twice, and both times it was, we came out a little flat.
Yep.
Did you feel it in the beginning of the game? I mean, because a lot of times, there's times you'll come out of the tunnel, you're going to your reps on the field, and you'll think, this is great, we're ready, I'm locked in. Yep. And then you play, and it's like, what the heck just happened? And then there's other times you come out, and you feel like you're just dragging, and then the minute you get in the game, you're in the zone. What was it that came out flat?
I think the Chargers game more so. From an offensive standpoint, you could feel the energy just was not there. I think the 49ers game, since we got flexed to the Sunday night game, the energy was there. We were locked in. We were focused, but it was a matter of execution and communication. I think we struggled communicating that game, and that that's from coaches to players, players to players, coaches to coaches. I think we aired that out. But yeah, like you said, it's a growing experience for us.
So now that you're back, you guys have a couple of wins under your belt. Cold weather's coming, but you're also getting a cold weather team. It's not like you're getting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers rolling in here,
Yep.
So they're just as accustomed to the cold weather and practicing outside and such right now. Although it is a little bit warmer to the south. It's maybe 5 to 10 degrees warmer, but it is what it is.
It'll be a good one Sunday.
Does it matter even once you get out there? Do you really feel it?
Not really. When you're on the field, you don't really feel, and you kind of black out, if you want me to be honest.
Let me ask you this. So what is – during the game, you're obviously engaged.
Yeah.
What is your job?
Yeah, so –
because I'll see you on the sideline sitting next to Aaron. I'll see you standing next to Coach. I'll see you all over the sideline. So what is it? Because obviously you have to be engaged in case anything happens.
Yeah.
But what is your job?
So my duty kind of shifts with kind of what happens with the game. So as the play call comes in, I'm obviously, hearing it and saying it to myself just so I can kind of practice hearing the play call. But at that moment, my eyes go straight to Aaron to make sure he gets it, because sometimes he doesn't hear it. He points to his helmet, he does this again, and Coach LaFleur is looking down on his play sheet. He doesn't necessarily see it, so I have to get his attention to say it again. Sometimes that happens, not very often. But from that point on, when we break the huddle, now I'm looking at the defense. I'm trying to see if they're signaling that they're doing anything, any kind of communication I can pick up from the defensive end. If I pick up a signal, write it down, mental, a little jot in my little notebook I have. And when Aaron comes back to the sideline, I kind of present it to him. Hey, this signal means this, just so you can see it, be ready for it. But then when Aaron gets off the field, that's when we look at the iPad, kind of talk about what I saw, what he saw, Coach Getsy as well. And we kind of figure out, what they ran, what's going to be good against them. But yeah, my job is to be, Aaron's not, I don't want to say assistant, but I'm there to support Aaron.
Did he ever come to the sideline and, you say I saw this, he say I saw this, and you go, I was right?
We haven't really had any back and forth like that. Most of the time we see the same things, and that's the one thing since
which is good.
Which is, yeah, exactly. We're like quarterbacks, we're in the same meeting rooms, so we're watching the same film, we're having the same conversations, so 99% of the time we're seeing the same thing, we're talking the same language. And we're understanding kind of where we're coming from.
So you were telling me you do a quarterback test.
Yeah.
So for those that weren't listening to the conversation earlier before we went on the air, what is the quarterback test?
Yeah, so it's a 33-question test that I present to Manny, Aaron, our quarterback coach, offense coordinator, head coach every week that I kind of have some fun with. It kind of incorporates specific game plan questions that, might be challenging for that week. I'll put in some fun facts about the team, the city that we're playing in, and then I'll put in some random fun facts just about literally anything, because Aaron's kind of a sponge like that. So what I told Aaron a couple of weeks ago actually was, if he's ever on Jeopardy again, hopefully I can help him out with just one question. If I give him some of these fun facts, if he gets asked a question and if it's in the back of his mind, right, hopefully I can contribute.
I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. We got through our first segment up here. We're going to go ahead and continue to talk with Tim Boyle. We want to talk about his preparation. We'll also talk about more of this rivalry between the Packers and the Bears. The 200th meeting between these two teams is going to take place at Lambeau Field coming up at noon on Sunday. We are at Lodge Kohler. It's the Lodge Kohler kickoff with Tim Boyle, the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Stay tuned. We've got more right after this.
Make your next trip to Green Bay memorable in all the best ways. Come to Lodge Kohler, where the grit of sport and industry is tempered by the grace of bold design, where every detail is crafted for your convenience and pleasure. From the warm and welcoming nature of our lobby and cafe, to our fifth floor restaurant and lounge, Tavern in the Sky, featuring an unbeatable view of the stadium, to our signature Kohler water spa and lap pool. Whether you're on the road for business or on your way to the North Woods, we invite you to raise a glass with travelers from across the world and friends from around the corner. Book your stay today at LodgeKohler.com. Choose from the Packers home game package, overnight packages to explore the Hall of Fame, or one of our year-round overnight packages. For more information, visit LodgeKohler.com. Lodge Kohler, a hotel brought to you by Kohler Company.
Hey, honey, I think we should go on a Caribbean cruise.
And I think I'm watching the Green Bay game right now.
Come on, there will be legends on the cruise. Does that change your mind?
Would your brother invite us? Cracks me up he still calls himself a legend when he hasn't played sports since high school.
No, Green Bay legends like Leroy Butler, George Kuntz, and Blake Martinez, just to name a few.
Wow, really? Well, heck yeah, I do. What's the website? I'll check it out.
It's greenbaylegendscruise.com. Just think, this could be the new family we vacation with every year.
Hey, this is Mason Crosby, kicker for the Green and Gold. I've teamed up with Satori Bellavitano Cheese to support a favorite charity of mine, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. For every field goal I make this season, Satori Cheese will donate $1,000 to Make-A-Wish to help make a difference in lives of children who are suffering. I'm proud to be associated with Satori, a Wisconsin family-owned company that values its community and makes some of the world's best and award-winning artisan cheese.
Hi, this is Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Green Bay Packers. Hupie and Abraham and the Green and Gold, both winning teams with a long history of success. If you've been involved in an accident, choose the team with a winning record, the team that has collected over $1 billion for their clients, the team I would call Hupie and Abraham. Year after year, Hupie and Abraham is voted best, rated best. Call 1-800-800-5678. That's 1-800-800-5678. Or on the web at hupie.com. Hupie and Abraham, pick the winning team.
Welcome back. It's a Lodge Kohler kickoff. We are broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler. We are brought to you by our friends at Hupie and Abraham, Under Warmer, also Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, the Green Bay Legends Cruise, and Lammy Sports Management. Don't forget, next week we're going to be back here, and Adrian Amos is going to be joining us yet again, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Under Warmer hot play of the game coming up here in just a little bit as well. Stay tuned for that. Lindsay is here with Lodge Kohler. And Lindsay's going to tell us a little. For those of you that are out shopping, there is a few services here at Lodge Kohler that are not necessarily food-oriented or wine-oriented. So, Lindsay, first of all, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great.
So tell us what you got going on, because you're here more on the spa side of things.
I am. So I actually manage the spa. So it is the shopping season. So gift cards right now are definitely in full swing. We also have our full retail boutique, so featuring all the lines that we use in our services. So now's the time to think of your significant other and come in shopping.
And are there couples?
Of course.
Stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
So we actually have, our spa was built to enjoy space and time together. So we actually have a thermal suite with a hydrotherapy pool, steam room, cold plunge pool, and sauna to enjoy with each other in between your services.
The cold plunge pool.
68 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah. How many cold tubs have you ever been in, Tim?
A few colder than that.
When they dump the ice in and you can hear it crinkle when you get in.
Low 40s.
Don't do that, 68 degrees is still a little bit cold, though.
I was going to say, it's intense, but not quite.
That cold water, by the way, is not conducive to the romantic side of couples therapy. I'll tell you that, just an FYI.
Agreed.
100%.
Just so we're clear on that, okay? I don't know if I'd offer that as a romantic package. Anything else? Because they can get those gift cards right now, right?
No. Yes, absolutely. We are actually open on the holidays as well. Every Wednesday is Community Day. So if you want to come in and spend some time with us, even on New Year's Day, we'll be around and waiting for you.
There you go. Lindsay, appreciate it. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
There you go. All these services and spa services you need, and just a physiological lesson on behalf of myself for those who think about jumping into the cold tub. Sitting here with Tim Boyle, the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, hanging out with us. So we were talking about the Bears coming into this contest. Go back over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. The Washington game, you guys started out, the offense was really clicking. I think it was three out of the first four series mm-hmm. you guys scored upon.
Yep.
After that, what happened?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's the thing about the NFL is you think you're going to get into a rhythm, and all of a sudden, you know, the defense goes to the sideline. They start adjusting. They start understanding what you're doing conceptually. Right. They start shutting our game plan down. So I think that's kind of what happened. I think we were executing well. We had a couple missed opportunities. But it was kind of a weird – one of those weird situations. We're clicking, good vibes, and then all of a sudden we kind of just, hit a valley there. And it was good to kind of see us respond late in the game, though. It really was.
I'm going to talk to you about the wide receiving core. This has been an area that has been discussed and dissected and guys aren't getting open. So the way I'm looking at it, when I get a chance to look at the game film, Devontae, everywhere he goes, he's got pretty much press man, mm-hmm. and usually they're swinging a safety or somebody else to his side.
Yep.
It's wherever he goes.
Yep.
And it makes it – you're throwing into windows at that point, just trying to get it to him.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is trying to get either Marquez or Geronimo or Jimmy or somebody else in a matchup in which they're open or scheming it to that, which has not always been easy, correct?
Agreed.
So when people start to say, well, either nobody's open or Devontae's not this or not that, it really has been a concentration by defenses to say, we're going to stop. We're going to do everything we can to not allow Devontae to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to concentrate on stopping the run up front and let everybody else try to beat me.
Yeah, and that's just common sense. I mean, if anything is working for someone, you want to shut it down so you can play to their strengths. And you're obviously, trying to put yourself in the best position. But I think the challenging thing about our offense is we have the best quarterback in the game, one of the best running backs in the game, one of the best tight ends, receivers. So, like you said, you try to shut down Devontae, then, Jimmy Graham's one-on-one with someone else. One of the fastest receivers, MVS, is one-on-one with someone else.
What's happened to him? Because he just hasn't had the receptions here as of late.
I think.
Welcome back. The Lodge Kohler Kickoff. We broadcast live from Lodge Kohler here in Green Bay. Tim Boyle, the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, joining us here. By the way, the Under Armour hot play of the game, obviously one of the bigger plays to a guy that has not found the end zone a whole lot because he doesn't get that opportunity very often. But Robert Tonyan gets to the back of the end zone and drops one in for 7 points. And the Packers go up at that point in time, and they go on to win that ball game last week against the Washington Redskins. The hot play of the game brought to you by Under Armour. Under Armour, a single-use heat-based layered compression shirt. 8 large air-activated heat packets are built right into the shirt. Staying warm up to 12 hours, and for under $15, the Under Armour, that is a game changer. Available at Gasser Hardware, Shields, and the Green Bay Jersey Store as well. Tim Boyle, our guest here at Lodge Kohler. So we were talking in the last segment about, the offense and the flow of the offense, and I was asking you, so as a backup, and you were describing how Aaron does it, mm-hmm. but as, coming in yourself, it would have to be the same schematics but a differently operated offense.
Yeah, like you said, it's the same scheme, but I think it's expected of me, and the coaches expect that I would run the offense the same as Aaron from making checks, alerts, protections. So I think what it really comes down to is just his style of play versus my style of play, and he's a little bit more move around, make plays down the field, where traditionally I've been stay in the pocket, deliver the ball. I will say this though, the more I'm around Aaron, the more I kind of feel myself molding into kind of an Aaron style of kind of run around, make some plays, especially in practice. So I'm actually curious. I actually had this conversation with my parents. I'm curious to see kind of what would happen in a live game situation, under fire, under pressure, kind of to see if I would kind of naturally mold my game around Aaron.
How much does Aaron talk to you about what you do? Because you're on the scout team. Mm-hmm. So when it is what you do with the scout team and how you treat that, because he used to take a ton of pride in beating the ones. It was supposed to be a workout, mm-hmm. and instead it was an all-out assault on a part of Aaron Rodgers to the
Spurs. Yeah, I have the same outlook. I'm extremely competitive, and especially when you have a great defense like our defense, I'm so blessed to be able to go against them every day and just get the funky looks that they give us. I'm not going to see that anywhere else in the NFL for the most part. So being able to make those protection adjustments, see the coverages is huge for me, but – I go out there and I'm competitive and I'm talking trash a little bit. I'm having fun. And Aaron's the same way, but, whenever I throw a good ball for, in scout team, he says something or something like that. But for the most part, Aaron is, pretty kind of laid back and lets me do my thing unless I do something, schematically or fundamentally wrong. He just kind of steps in and said, hey, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I think you should do. And, I put it to work.
How's Manny?
Manny's great.
Yeah.
He's a great human being. He's a little energizer brother.
We're talking Manny Wilkins, the third-string quarterback.
He brings the juice every day, which is huge. And the number one thing I love about Manny, he understands his role. He doesn't complain. He does whatever is asked of him on and off the field. And you'll never see him, without a smile on his face. So I've been very blessed to get to know Manny. He's got a great personality, a great smile, and just a good human being. He really is.
So when you guys are sitting down and doing – now, let me ask you this. How much, do you do away from the complex or just get together on your own?
In terms of football
game
or hanging
plan
out?
And study? And...
Yeah. We don't really get together outside of the facility and talk football. Most of that is individual. We have our iPads.
Right.
A lot of the work is outside of the facility and watching film, making sure you're studying. And what most people understand is we have to memorize, as the quarterback, we have to memorize the play calls. So you see a coach holding this big play call sheet, and we have to memorize pretty much all those plays on the sheet, because during the game, if it's loud, sometimes the microphone goes in and out. You only hear bits and pieces, and then all of a sudden the microphone goes out because there's 15 seconds left in the play clock, and then you're kind of left there having to piece the whole play together. So there's a lot of work. My nights are pretty full all the way till probably 11 o'clock trying to start on a study, memorize, and try to create this fun quarterback test for him.
That was going to be my next question. Because the language is new, was it easy to pick up, or was this – because this is pretty much starting over for everybody, not just, Aaron and you and Manny. I mean, this is the whole group, including everybody in the offense.
Conceptually, it's not challenging because there's only a few ways to skin a cat, really, when it comes down to it. I mean, there's only certain concepts you can run against certain coverages, and most of the concepts are universal in the NFL, but the verbiage completely shifts whenever you have coaches come in. So, fortunately, most people might look at this as a bad thing, but – high school, I had five different coordinators. I had five different systems. Last year, I come in here, have a system, and this year, I have a brand new system. So I've been around a lot of different offenses and a lot of different coaches, so I'm actually able to adjust. I have a plan as to how I learn a new offense, which has helped me out, and it's a step-by-step process that I literally have of learning an offense and trying to memorize an offense.
How hands-on is Matt LaFleur? We've heard a lot of different things about some of the details and such that he wants. And it's not that I'm asking for the comparison into Mike McCarthy versus Matt LaFleur, but I'm asking for a coach that wants conceptually something to happen, but yet there's also very much you're only as good on Sunday as you are Wednesday through Friday, mm-hmm. and the details are what it really comes down to, is how you run a route, how you look, and how you kind of scan the field. So how detail-oriented is he?
It's incredible. We'll have a walkthrough in our facility, a walkthrough with shoes, and, someone won't take the right, the proper footwork while we're doing an actual walkthrough, and he'll, say something to him and make sure it's a point that everyone hears it. Most people might take a step back and be like, hey, coach, it's a walkthrough. Like, I understand what I have to do, but he is very, very detail-oriented. He's in every meeting. He tries to kind of run scout team sometime. He wants the certain look. He wants everything to be perfect. He's all about the details, which is awesome.
So, again, it goes back Wednesday through Friday, ends up getting you better on Sunday.
Yep.
So when things – how many times did you come out of a week and say, man, things are clicking, things feel really right, and when you get to the game, you're like, it's not functional for whatever reason?
I only think we only got really beat one game. I think that was the Chargers game. But conceptually, we always feel good about the plan. I mean, we do a good job of making sure we rep the right plays that we want to rep. But I feel like the only game where we really lost because of the team beating us, and we were also flat, was the Chargers game. I think a part of ourselves kind of beat ourselves.
See, everybody says that, and all the guys that I've talked to, the interviews we had during the week, and they all say the same thing, that the 49ers, we think we can beat them if we see them again.
Agreed.
You know?
Yeah.
And the best part would be is if you got to the point where you got a one seed and got them here.
Exactly.
But you really feel that confident about what went on out in the
I do. You look at our first loss, I mean, the Eagles game, right? You know, we could
you gave that away.
Exactly. We could have beat them by, I think, 3 touchdowns. And I don't think that's a stretch by any imagination, a couple drop touchdowns. The Chargers game, I think we actually lost that game, and I think that was important for us. I think that was a good, you know, kind of building block for our foundation. But, yeah, I think the 49ers game, I think we feel like we can get back to them. I think we do.
Yeah, I was going to say it. Everybody that I've talked to said that the 49ers, they're a good team. You know, they're a very physical team, but there's nothing out of the ordinary there that you haven't seen before or couldn't do.
Yep.
So this game upcoming against the Chicago Bears, how much different do they look now versus what they were in game one that Thursday night?
That's a good question. Schematically, they're doing some things different just because, obviously, when you play, you know, 10-plus games, you're going to have some wear and tear and some guys are going to be banged up, and you're going to kind of learn what works for your system. But they're playing a little bit different coverages, trying to mix up things. I think the first game, the safeties especially, did a good job of disguising, trying to, you know, fool Aaron, which I don't think really works for Aaron. I think he understands what's happening no matter what. But I think this week is more so it's cut and dry. We know what we're going to get. It's just a matter of going out there and executing.
We're going to go and take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk more about the upcoming matchup with the Chicago Bears. And we're broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler. I'm Bill Michaels, Tim Boyle alongside. Hang in there with us. We got a whole lot more coming up right after this. Welcome back. It's a Lodge Kohler kickoff, and we are broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler. Thanks to everybody for coming out and hanging out with us. And don't forget our friends at Lambie Sports. They want you to be there. They want to let you know that you're their first call for a Green Bay player appearance, whether it's television, commercial, or radio, whatever it happens to be, exclusively repping Donald Driver, James Jones, Nick Collins, and a whole lot more. Call them 414-727-3600 or visit lambiesports.com. That's lambiesports.com. LAMMI. Tim Boyle, backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers here. We were sitting here talking. Now, you guys do a ton away from the facility as well, as groups, right?
We do. It starts off, I want to say, what sticks out in my mind, the offensive line and the quarterbacks go out to eat every Thursday night, which is a fun time.
Yeah. This is not something that's been normal in the past.
No. I think the O-line dinner has been going on for a few years, but it hasn't been a huge thing. You know, we had a Halloween party this year as a team. We're going to have a Christmas party this year as a team. And when we say as a team, it's going to be, you know, no kids. It's, you know, significant others, and it's, you know, open bar.
Right.
It'll be a good, you know, kind of bonding experience.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that's the biggest change from last year to this year, just being around here 2 years, is not that it wasn't there last year, not that I was lacking, but we hang out more.
Why is that? Is that something that's been promoted by Coach LaFleur, or is that something that just – the leadership committee took upon themselves, or what?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think coach is all about making sure that we're a family, we're a team. But I think it's partially the leadership we have in our locker room, especially with the two edge rushers we got, and Z and Preston. Those guys just bring such a contagious energy. And the defensive guys are super close. Aaron, Devontae, Jimmy Graham, Mercedes Lewis have all done a good job of making sure that we're all doing the same thing. We're all getting together, hanging out, kind of BS in, making sure we're, you know, having fun, and that camaraderie is there off the field.
And now it's hard. It's one of those analytics, those sabermetrics, if you will, that you can't – it's an intangible you can't quantify, and it drives people crazy. But there is something to be said 100%. For the camaraderie.
100%.
It's almost as if you begin to know the other person, so when you're talking about communication on the field, it starts to flow.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is it's not necessarily the positives when you're out on the field. It's the – when I rip your new, you know, I don't want to say it on
yeah, no, go ahead.
But yeah, if I rip you a new one, it comes from a place of love and caring, not a place of, hey, you know, you did a bad job.
Right.
You need to do better. I'm the best. It comes from a place, and that's where you kind of build that relationship off the field. And, you know, when it's nice out, we all go golfing together. You have a beer after, And you build that relationship. So when the tough times happen, you can rely on each other, and you can make sure that, you know, there's no personal attacks. It's all coming from a place of love and caringness.
So you guys sit right now at 10 wins. Now, you were part of this team last year. It was about as down as I can remember it in a long time, maybe even going back to, God, 99, 2000 during the Ray Rhodes years. So talk about the difference, not necessarily in the comparison, but just talk about the difference. You talked about the camaraderie and the feel. But there's a different level of energy that the Smith brothers brought. Obviously, the offense stayed the same. There really wasn't, other than bringing in Billy Turner, you guys haven't had a whole lot of changes. Cole Madison came on board and came back, and he was welcome back. But there's not a lot of changes. So what you were relying upon was a new attitude, a new scheme, and a head coach, really, right?
Yeah, I think the big thing is, and unfortunately, I look at it as a positive, but, you know, I've had a couple of coaching changes in college. And whenever you have a new coach that comes in, there's always a new energy that comes with it. You know, the first couple of team meetings that he came into, he was super energetic. He laid the law. This is how it's going to be. And we kind of have followed that, and we've built upon that since day one. I think another, you know, contributing factor is the fact that we brought in a lot of those free agents who are great human beings, really good football players, and bring a positive energy to a football team. From last year to this year, I think the biggest thing we were talking about is we genuinely love and care about each other. Not that we didn't last year, but there's just a different sense of, I got your back. You know, when it gets tough, I got your back no matter what.
I was going to ask you also about the relationship stuff. You talk about Matt LaFleur coming in and laying the law down. Everything's been talked about regarding Aaron and Matt LaFleur. Every facial expression Aaron has on the field, everything that they want to, I want to say, either agree or disagree or argue about, it gets blown up. Okay?
Yeah, it does.
Is that anything, you sit there and you laugh a little bit, is that anything that is cognizant? You come in on Monday and you're like, can you believe what they said? Or do you pay attention to that? Or is that strictly?
Yeah. I'll start off by saying that that's all BS.
Yeah.
The whole Aaron and Matt don't like each other. That's all. I mean, I think what people don't want to understand is that Aaron's been in this league for 15 years. He understands how it has to be. He's competitive. He's ultra competitive, and he wants to win. So whether it's he's ripping my ass or he's ripping someone else's butt, sometimes you see the
coach or Aaron.
I mean, Aaron's pretty much a coach out there. I mean, that's what the quarterback is. He's the coach on the field. But by no means is there any bad blood, any feuds. I mean, it's open communication. They have a great relationship. I mean, I wish people were in the meeting rooms, in the locker room, on the practice field with us, seeing us, you know, having fun, joking, getting our work done. But when it comes down to game time, it's a whole different animal. And like I said earlier, I was joking around about it, but you kind of black out. You're so competitive. You're so locked in that if something doesn't happen, you know, it's an emotional game. Tempers flare, but there's a rule in football. You always leave it on the field, whether that's a fight between a coach or, you know, a player and a player. You always leave it on the field. You learn from it. You grow from it. But there is no bad blood. They have a great relationship.
So how involved are you? One of the things, Aaron Jones was here, and I had asked him, and I said, tell me about coach. And he said, the one thing that I really appreciate is if something doesn't work, we'll scrap it. He'll toss it. He really wants to know the input of everybody to make it comfortable.
That's probably my number one favorite thing about Coach LaFleur, is that he genuinely asks us our opinion about what we like, what we don't like. If Aaron, because when it comes down to it, the players have to buy into it. You know, you can scheme up plays and you can feel good about it as a coach, but when it comes down to it, we have to execute it as players. So when coach asks us and we get our, you know, we give him our open and honest opinion, he takes those in consideration. So, you know, hey, Aaron Rodgers, do you like this play? No. All right, it's out. Because if Aaron Rodgers doesn't like it, you know, then the team's not going to buy into it, and the play has no chance. So that's the number one thing I love about him. He asks me all the time. He asks Aaron, all the players. He's very open to listening and growing from it.
Is there a time where he'll say, I really want to make this work?
Yeah, of course. And that's the conversations that sometimes you have to work through. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's, hey, this is why we're scheming this up. Here's my reasoning. Here are the clips to, you know, kind of support my case. Let's give it a try. You go out in the practice field, you rep it. Hey, Aaron, how'd you feel? You know, receivers, running backs, O-line, how'd you feel about it? Good. Let's progress with it. But I think that's the biggest thing, is just having that open communication.
I go back to early on. I might have been the Philadelphia game when Aaron struggled. It was a third down play through an incomplete pass. You could clearly see the cameras on Aaron's face. You could see he says, "What do you want me to do?" Mm-hmm. And pointing his Matt LaFleur comes running down the field, and he turns around and says, "Throw the ball." And I thought that was a very poignant moment because we never really had seen that over the last few years. But it goes back to what you're saying, that you can have a passion and agree to disagree mm-hmm. on the field at that time. But when you take that into the film study room, all that goes away.
100%.
It's strictly about just making execution.
I guarantee the only reason why those two remember that exact moment is because people wanted to talk about it, make a big deal out of it. But if no one said anything about that, they would not have remembered any. Legitimately, you're just short of blacking out during a football game.
From your perspective, not asking you to talk for Aaron, but from your perspective, do you think that Aaron is enjoying, or you're enjoying, and the quarterback room is enjoying, the challenge of game planning, the challenge of play calling, the challenge of putting plays together that you feel are going to work?
Yes, that's the fun part about football, is every week is a kind of a clean slate, and you get to scheme up your best plays against their best plays. And that's the fun competitive part about football. But we have a good job. You know, our coaching staff does a good job of making sure that we have carryover, but making sure it looks different to the defense. So we have our base plays that we can hang our hat on, and the defense can't really get a jump on it because we're not lining up in the same formation we did last week. So they're game planning a certain formation, a certain look. All of a sudden we come out in a different look. Oh, no, what happened? So we do a good job of making sure we have those conversations too, because it's important to run the same stuff out of different looks.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, wrap things up. Final segment coming up. By the way, if you want to find us on social media, Facebook, facebook.com, Lodge Kohler Kickoff. Same thing on Instagram and on Twitter. It is called Kohler Kickoff. We'll be back. More Tim Boyle coming up right after this.
Make your next trip to Green Bay memorable in all the best ways. Come to Lodge Kohler, where the grit of sport and industry is tempered by the grace of bold design, where every detail is crafted for your convenience and pleasure. From the warm and welcoming nature of our lobby and cafe, to our fifth-floor restaurant and lounge, Tavern in the Sky, featuring an unbeatable view of the stadium, to our signature Kohler Water Spa and lap pool. Whether you're on the road for business or on your way to the North Woods, we invite you to raise a glass with travelers from across the world and friends from around the corner. Book your stay today at LodgeKohler.com. Choose from the Packers home game package, overnight packages to explore the Hall of Fame, or one of our year-round overnight packages. For more information, visit LodgeKohler.com. Lodge Kohler, a hotel brought to you by Kohler Company.
Lammy Sports should be your first call for Green Bay player appearances and commercials. They exclusively rep Jordy Nelson, Donald Driver, James Jones, and many more. Lammy Sports talent is perfect for your grand opening, big anniversary sale, your next company meeting, or that new product launch. Anytime you want to stand out, reach out to Lammy Sports. Call 414-727-3600 or visit LammySports.com. It's easy to hire a Packer, Brewer, or Buck with Lammy.
Hey, this is Mason Crosby, kicker for the Green and Gold. I have teamed up with Sartori Bella Vitano Cheese to support a favorite charity of mine, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. For every field goal I make this season, Sartori Cheese will donate $1,000 to Make-A-Wish to help make a difference in lives of children who are suffering. I'm proud to be associated with Sartori, a Wisconsin family-owned company that values its community and makes some of the world's best and award-winning artisan cheese.
Hi, this is Wayne Lara, the voice of the Green Bay Packers. Hupie and Abraham and the Green and Gold, both winning teams with a long history of success. If you've been involved in an accident, choose the team with a winning record, the team that has collected over $1 billion for their clients, the team I would call Hupie and Abraham. Year after year, Hupie and Abraham is voted best, rated best. Call 1-800-800-5678. That's 1-800-800-5678. Or on the web at Hupie.com. Hupie and Abraham, pick the winning team.
We Welcome back. We are glad to have you. We're back here at Lodge Kohler. Final segment of the Lodge Kohler kickoff. I'm Bill Michaels alongside Tim Boyle, backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, sitting here talking during the break. You never see some guys when they go home at the end of a game, that's it. Or practice, they turn it off. Significant other, they game, they do a little study, they put it away. You're not. You're kind of a junkie.
Yeah. I've been blessed with playing this sport for now 20 years, and in my opinion, it's the best sport in the world. So I watch as much football as I can, but like we were saying, you can't watch it the same. I can't just sit there and watch a football game unfold. I have to analyze, the front, the coverage. It's kind of just how I've been programmed now. But it's not a bad thing by any means.
Do you watch all of it, or do you watch? Is there a preference? I mean, obviously, you're watching a lot of pro football, but do you just watch any college football? Or
it's funny. When I was in college, I only liked watching college football, and I always thought, the pros was just kind of just like a thing you did on Sunday to kind of relax. And then when I get to the NFL, and I understand what goes into it and the skill level of the NFL, I barely watch any college football now. It's all NFL. I try to watch as many games as I get my hands on. And that's the cool thing about game planning every week is we watch film on all these different games. So I probably have 8 or 10 games on my iPad right now that I can just watch like that.
Right.
And rewind it and kind of just watch it unfold.
Now, do you watch the All-22 or do you watch just the broadcast?
For what?
For when you watch other games.
Oh, yeah.
You're watching All-22?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I try to. Sometimes we're busy, but yeah, it's try to watch as many as you can.
And that's the coach's film for people that don't get it. It's the one that you show everybody on the field, the entire field, so you can see everything break down the way it's supposed to be.
Yep.
I say that every now and then. I just assume people know, and there's a lot of time they don't.
Some people, yeah.
So, but like when you were in college and you're watching pro games and you see it and you're talking about relaxing on Sundays, then when you get here, how drastically different was it?
It's genuinely not that much different from a workload standpoint. It's just the athletes are so, it's unbelievable. It's incredible. It really is. I mean, the worst NFL players are still absolute studs. And that's why you're around these guys who are, 75 pounds more than I am, running the same speed that I am. It's unbelievable. But you just when you go out there and you play in a game and you understand how fast things are going, it's addictive. And that's why I like going out there and playing. But in college, it's kind of more of a, hey, these are our guys. These are not our guys. We have to kind of build around that.
Yeah.
In the NFL, I mean, everyone's a legitimate, really good player. So I have a ton of respect for all the players in the NFL for sure.
So if you win this one, you beat Minnesota, that'll give you 12 wins. Obviously, the 13th win would mean something, but are you then asking Aaron, hey, if we got a big lead in the second half of that game, would you mind?
Yeah, I already asked Aaron that question. I said if we beat – when we beat the Bears and the Vikings, if we have the number one or number two seed locked in and we have a bye, what would that, week 17 look like? And he said, if it's the right circumstance, maybe I'll play a drive or two or three and hopefully we score and then you can go in. But that's not up to him at all. But hopefully the tail end of that game, I can go get some reps.
How much did you appreciate the preseason? Because starters just aren't playing preseason football anymore.
Yeah, it's huge for us. It's absolutely huge. It gave me the opportunity to showcase what I can do. Thankfully, there were 4 games. I think they're trying to cut it down in the new CBA to maybe 2 games. But just the opportunity is huge for the players who are kind of on the back burner of the 90-man roster. So – fortunately I had a good preseason and I was able to kind of showcase what I was able to do. And, it kind of, propelled me into the position I'm in now.
You got a ton of reps and, it's different when you come in and all of a sudden you're playing with Devontae versus when you're playing with Marquez or anybody, know?
No.
So you get your own go-to guy,
no doubt.
So
no doubt.
It's not that you want to play favorites. It's just that somebody you got, for those that don't know, you just come into a same wavelength, a mentality, a feel.
What's nice about preseason, and it's nice for a quarterback, is most teams don't really show their stuff. It's a base game plan, so you understand what coverage you're going to get. It's pretty kind of watered down, but like you said, and I think last year the funny thing was Aaron and Brett Hudley, they both told me, hey, in preseason it's all about matchups. Like you said, if you have a guy, you have a good connection with someone, and you like the matchup. If you have a 6'4", Quez versus a 5'11 DB,
right?
Maybe you'll throw it up to him. And my first touchdown ever in preseason last year was exactly that situation. Technically wasn't supposed to throw the ball in that coverage, because it really wasn't even in the progression. But I threw it to Quez because it was a good matchup, and he came down with it and made me look good.
So was that a complimentary touchdown, or was that a, what are you doing?
It's more of, so we have things in our offense. So most of our pass concept, pass concepts are progressional, you know, based. Right. So you're 1, 2, 3, and you have things, you have routes built in that are alerts over certain coverages. So if I get cover man, you know, cover one man, I can alert this one route. So I did that to that one route. It was the right coverage. I misspoke. It was the right coverage, but I should have worked the other side of the field, but I threw to Quez and he came down with it.
When you talked earlier about, you know, 1, 2, 3, get rid of the football in your scheme, in your side of things. Aaron, there was a comment made by Chris Collinsworth during the Sunday night game that said Aaron Rodgers hangs onto the ball longer than 3 seconds than any other quarterback in the National Football League, mm-hmm. which isn't always a good thing. So real quick, in about a 30-second synopsis, how do you then change the offense to you?
I don't think it necessarily changes. I think the concepts stay the same. It's just when the ball gets out faster. I think Aaron does a good job of, like we said earlier, making the plays, extending plays that might not be my strong suit right now, of me just standing in the pocket and delivering the football.
Well, good luck on Sunday and the 200th meeting. So
thank you.
Has a little meeting. Enjoy it afterwards.
No doubt.
You know, don't think
no
about
doubt.
It prior to. Tim Boyle, ladies and gentlemen, joining us here for the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. Thanks to all of you for hanging out and being patient tonight. Thanks to Lodge Kohler as well and our friends at Hupie and Abraham. Time for us to go. Have a going. Tim.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.